welcome to number 123. 123, numerologically significant, I suppose, in some part of the world. Crystal Silence League Hour, with your host, Reverend John St. Germain. Hey, we've made it 3 years. November 25th will be our third anniversary. Hey, yay! Get a drink of some sort. Come back in just a minute. We'll start our show. I'll see you in a minute. Again, we cannot launch chat. Maybe you can get into chat, but I sure can't. And I've been trying unsuccessfully. Also, I almost never got into the studio itself today. Blog Talk Roulette is not being kind to us. It was 1.5 minutes before go time before I was actually able to get into the studio. I was able to call in, so I would be able probably to broadcast. I just wouldn't be able to access the switchboard and audio files. So, hey. There you go. So periodically throughout the evening, I'm going to attempt to launch the chat, which means I may get booted out of the studio and the show may crash. But, you know, it's always an adventure here on Crystal Silence League Hour. Our topic tonight is spirits, and we will dive into that after some of our regularly scheduled programs, such as the Crystal of the Month and our prayer recital. And for those of you who may not know, the Crystal Silence League was started around 1917 by a fellow named Claude Alexander Conlon for the purpose of distributing to its members positive prayer and affirmation for all those who needed such, which, as it turned out, was quite a few people. It grew steadily over the course of many years. And when Mr. Conlon passed into the silence around 1954 or so, he took the Silence League with him and where it remained until it was brought back to life by Adepts of Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. You can find that particular church at missionaryindependent.org. And Missionary Independent Spiritual Church is the mother church of many churches. We have, I think, 9 sister churches, one of which is mine, Divine Harmony Spiritual Church, that you can find at divineharmonyspiritualchurch.org. Or the simplest way is to just find it at johnsg.com, which is me, johnsg.com. A lot easier than typing in divineharmonyspiritualchurch.com, although some people do. You can go to crystalsilenceleague.org and find the Crystal Silence League, and you'll find when you go there that there are prayer petitions. And prayer is always free at the Crystal Silence League. You can post your prayers, and we'll pray for you. Now, we get over 200 prayers a week, by the way. And many, many people tell us their prayers are granted because you got hundreds of people. Last time I looked, we had almost 6,000 members in the Crystal Silence League and subscribers to the newsletter, which you can subscribe to. I apologize, we haven't had a newsletter recently. We're on hiatus right now while we're doing a little bit of reorganizing of the Crystal Silence League. But we will have new newsletters. I edit those as well as run the show and do a number of other things and make a living as a spiritual worker. So we do quite a few things here. But first, let's talk about our Crystal of the Month, which is Imperial Gold Aura Quartz. And I apologize about last week. I did an entire show last week after our prayers in silence. It did not come back from the moment of silence. The show just crashed, and I spoke for 45 minutes into dead air, as it turned out. So we'll just do that whole program again this week. So there we go. But Imperial Gold Quartz is a very pretty stone. It's orange, and it is quartz. And, you know, quartz will store energy, it will transform energy, it will transmit energy, and it will transform energy. So the gold quartz is very interesting because it connects the heart chakra with the solar plexus chakra, which bridges the physical with the emotional. So if you find yourself fragmented emotionally and spiritually and physically, the gold quartz are as excellent for bridging the physical with the emotional chakras. So it helps you with communication and with connecting with other people. On the physical realm, it also helps you on the spiritual realm in opening your third eye and connecting your intuition and your spiritual self with the physical self needed for expression. It does help you in meditation if you're attempting to integrate mind, body, and spirit. Because this is a fiery crystal, it's associated with the Archangel Uriel. If you do that sort of work, it will help heal imbalances in the solar plexus chakra. It will also help heal the heart chakra, although it's not the preferred stone for the heart chakra. It can help you with these things. If you make an infusion with it, an elixir with it, you can use the direct method. Just drop it in water, let it sit in the sun for several hours, or moon, if you like. And remove it from the water, add a few drops of brandy, and you're ready to go with it. You can anoint your chakras. You can sprinkle it about your area. You can use it in your magical work. We'll do an episode on elixirs at some point, I think. And that is our crystal of the week, the Imperial Gold Quartz. There's a lot more you can say about it. Read up on it and or ask your nearest crystal worker about it. There's a whole lot you can do. If you'd like to go to our CrystalSilenceLeague.org prayer request page, you can pray along with me. We never say these names out loud. I see your names, but and members, I think, can see your names, but the pastors, of which I am one, can, and we see your pictures. But prayers are always anonymous at the Crystal Silence League. We don't say your names out loud. I just identify them by prayer ID. So if you know your prayer ID, you can recognize it. And we'll start with prayer ID 67220, who prays for her son's cousins to cherish him, who prays that E, C, E, and R happily want and choose to be B's best friends. They choose to include B in conversations, stories, and games. She further goes on to pray that they love spending time with B and love him unconditionally. They want to play with B as much as possible. That they're always kind, patient, tolerant, forgiving, and respectful toward B. They want all of B's attention. They still love B, even if B is quiet or doesn't talk or act silly. Amen. And we have prayer ID 67219, who needs an immediate supernatural healing of friendship. That communication will be opened up with Jay and I, and that he will have the great need to contact me. May I be placed heavily on his mind and heart, and that he will see how important his friendship is. And if I am supposed to contact him, that I will be given a sign and the right words to say. I've been waiting for this miracle for a long time and have dealt with many trials since I started praying for it. I'm tired, and I just need these delays and roadblocks gone. Thank you, and God bless you. Amen. And prayer ID 67218. My petition is to keep corrupt members of the law, health, and social services from harassing and abusing my family. I'm seeking prayers to strengthen my candle lighting service. Amen. And prayer ID 67217, who wants protection from danger because someone keeps calling me daily and I don't know this person. I pray also for my credit to be protected. For days now, he or she keeps calling me from an 804 area code. Supposedly, if I block this number, the person calls again under another number, but the same area code. This person never leaves a message. I never answer. I don't know why this person keeps calling me. I feel like I'm being stalked by phone. My prayers for protection and this person to finally stop calling me as well as get exposed. Thank you for all your prayers and happy Thanksgiving to you all. Amen. Prayer ID 67216. I have a 15-year-old son, 3-year-old girl, 74-year-old mom, and 8 cats, one of which is missing, 1 dog, and 1 puppy on the way. I also have an abusive, magic-abusing, manipulative, child predator husband. I wish he'd give up. I wish he'd leave us alone. I wish he'd agree to have his paternal rights terminated. He doesn't have good intentions. And until he's caught and jailed, he is a threat. Anytime he's free, he's a threat. His family and friends are a threat. I found out about him when I was pregnant, but my soul could not abort. We need protection from him. Amen. Prayer ID 67215. Thank you very much for continued prayer support. I don't like that my 15-year-old son and I are getting so angry and bitter. I catch myself praying for my pedophile ex-husband's death to hurry so my kids and I will finally be free. I was used and abused, and I'm terrified for my girl. No one helps me. The law is his puppet. I thought justice would work its course, but there's none. The court forces me to see him and expose my daughter to him every first and third and fifth Saturday. The abuse continues. He's after my baby girl. Amen. Prayer ID 67213. Please make my ex, A.R.N., suffer for what he's done to me. He will not complete a rehab program and put me through horrible hell because he's a drug addict. Please make him suffer for this because he never treated me right. Make me never stop thinking. Make him never stop thinking about me, wanting me back so bad it will drive him insane. Make him look for me and try to find me until he can't take it anymore. Make him suffer his karma for the actions he's done, consequences, and a horrible life until he wants real help and a sincere, genuine amends. Amen. Prayer ID 67212. Please pray my son's dad will realize the love he has for me and our son and be able to finally show and express it and not move away if we are meant to stay in each other's lives. Please pray for a sign and guidance and healing for my heart. Amen. Prayer ID 67209. Please pray for my kids who are torn between their abusive alcoholic father and their mother. I pray they will understand that I'm still hurting from his abuse. Amen. Folks, these are different people. These are not the same person. These are different people. This is an epidemic. Prayer ID 67208. My husband, I, has filed for divorce. Please pray that God change his heart and heal my marriage. May God restore my marriage so I can go back to my home with my husband. Amen. I'm also expecting my first child in 2 months. Please pray for me that I have a normal delivery and normal baby. Amen. Please pray that God change my husband's heart. Amen. Prayer ID 67207. May God bless Crystal Silence League. On Thanksgiving, November 23rd. Thanksgiving is 24th, I think. But I think November 23rd. Whenever it is, I will pray for my healing. I need these healed. Migraine headache, post-traumatic fever syndrome, major depression, and also oppression by social justice warriors. By Jesus Christ's stripes, I am healed. I can do all things through Jesus Christ. Hosanna, pray for me. Amen. Prayer ID 67206. Me and my wife have only been married for 5 years, but already our love is diminished and sex life has dried up. She's become too busy with work and have become distant. Please pray for our marriage for peace, healing, and restoration. And may our love once again be reignited and our sex life be taken to a whole new different level. Thank you. Amen. They need fire of love. Let's just do a couple more. Prayer ID 67202. Sudden finance issues brought on by theft. Facing eviction now on December 14th. Please help. Amen. And prayer ID 67201. Please pray for me that my true love will come to me and that we will make a nice family together and be happy for always. Thank you and bless you all. Amen. And let us please have a moment of silence for all those in need of prayer and affirmation, peace and comfort. Amen. And we're back. And we're talking about spirits. And up to now, we have been talking about how we have two highly energized bodies, one physical and one spiritual. And we talked about how the only difference between these two bodies really is the rate of vibration. One has low vibration, one has high vibration. We created a metaphor of this phenomenon about how the only difference between a brick and air is the speed of vibration. And we also gave another metaphor about how water, for instance, water can be as hard as a brick when it's in its ice form. It can be very flexible and supple in its water form, and it can be as vaporous as air in its gaseous form, such as fog, vapor, steam, or cloud. And the only difference in these different states of water is how fast or slow the molecules are vibrating. That's a very simplified explanation, very simple, but nonetheless, there's some truth to it. And I made the assertion that the only difference between you and me and a ghost is how fast we're vibrating, that the spirit lives on a different plane of existence. And since forever, mystics and scientists, physicists, and the metaphysicians have agreed that there are different planes of existence. We use different phraseology, dimensions of existence, and that what separates these dimensions is not spatial barriers. In fact, space has nothing to do with it. These planes of dimensions coexist right here and now, right? The very space that we live in right now, that we exist, could be an infinite number of other dimensions or planes of existence. This has been the assertion of mystics for thousands of years. It's not a matter of traveling in space or even in time. It's a matter of traveling in vibration, in these planes of existence. So here we have the physical body, we have the spiritual body, and there are those who communicate with spirits. But how is this possible? Well, if we look at energy itself and how energy behaves, we run into some problems. If energy or vibrations or anything travel through the same media, all is well. For instance, if you have electricity traveling through a wire and it continues to travel through a wire of the same thickness and material, nothing happens to it. Energy vibration signals can either be transmitted or transformed. If it's traveling through the same material, it's transmitted, but as soon as it starts to travel through a different material, it is transformed. You see. So, and this is the same in all things. Kinetic energy can be turned into heat, for instance. If movement is suddenly arrested, it can be turned into heat. And this happens with electricity. If that electricity is going through a thick wire and then you connect it to a thinner wire, that thinner wire will get hot. That excess vibrational energy is turned into heat. And then if you connect it to a certain type of filament, you get light. And did you know that if you bring a strong magnet close to light, you'll bend the light without even touching it? So as energy goes through different mediums or media, it is transformed. So how is it possible for a low vibration person, a human, to contact with a high vibrational energy being such as a spirit? I've heard spirit mediums make reference that the spirit lowers its vibration and the human raises his or her vibration. But how is this possible? There are actually other more likely theories that we'll discuss in just a few minutes. I'm going to tell you that the idea of a human being raising his or her vibration seems very strange. Let's go back a little bit. We know that telepathy, for example, mind reading, is a strictly physical phenomenon. It's not psychomantic. It's not of the astral being at all. It's of the brain. The human brain transmits a radio wave or a telepathic wave that can stir the material, the electrical signal of another wave, of another brain. It's a strictly physical phenomenon, one brain to the other. Now, the astral body can do the same thing, clairvoyance, where the astral being, the psychomantic being, the astral body can send and receive signals along the astral channel. Now, the spiritual plane works the same way. A spiritual body can communicate with another spiritual body. So what I think happens in spiritual communication is that when a spirit medium is contacting a spirit, it's the medium's spirit that is communicating with the other spirit, and the medium is actually listening to his or her own spirit. And so it is verily true what the ancient teachings tell you to do: go inward, study yourself. To talk to spirits, you don't go out there or somewhere, you go inside. You study yourself. You develop your inner resources, and this is where meditation is the most valuable tool of those who wish to develop the ability to speak to spirits. You go inside. You don't go out there. You go inside. You learn to communicate with your own spiritual being. And by listening to your own spiritual being, your own spiritual body, your spiritual double, we'll talk to other spiritual doubles. It does it all the time. Anyway, so this is the means of communication. There is no loss of signal then. Spirits talk to your spirit, and then your spirit communicates to you. But you have to be in touch with your own spiritual being. And I hear what you're saying. Well, isn't there a loss or a transformation of signal? Yes, there is. But the thing is, you know how to interpret your own spirit. You live with it. It's your spirit. It's already communicating with you through a mechanism that we're born with. And if you want, we can get into that. There's three parts of us that psychology recognizes, and there's various names for it. But you may have heard it called the id, the ego, and the superego. And signals from the subconscious, or the unconscious, come to us all the time through dreams and visions, trying to understand what goes into these things can drive you crazy. For a thought, for instance, comes to us through some conscious processes, but mainly unconscious processes. They're a thought factory in our makeup. And most people don't even think about this. They don't even think about where does a thought come from. And there are people who even believe that they know where their thoughts come from, but not according to mystics and not according to scientists and psychologists, psychiatrists. There's a thought factory. And most of that thought factory is utterly invisible, and we can't see it. And when you get very good at meditation, you see that too. You say, where is this coming from? Where are these thoughts coming from? And it's as if you look at an automobile or a computer and you know nothing about it. You cannot possibly conceive of the manufacturing process that goes into an iPod, you know, an iPhone, a computer, an automobile. You can't see the factory. You can't see the machines that churn out the printed circuits, the stamping, the press, the robotic arms, the people involved. You cannot conceive of any of that that goes into the manufacture of an automobile, a computer, an iPhone, or anything. And believe me, a thought is a lot more complicated, a single thought, a lot more complicated than an iPhone or a computer. So we have a thought factory that works invisibly to create a thought. Well, in that thought factory are a lot of things that our conscious mind may not make a lot of sense of. And much of that is influenced by our astral being and our spiritual being and things like this. And through meditation, you can learn to get some of that. That's why our dreams are so messed up. We think in symbols and we think in allegories and stuff from the unconscious mind. The unconscious mind doesn't think the same way the conscious mind does. And that's why when we sleep and the unconscious mind takes over, we think in terms of allegories and symbols. That's why dream interpretation is to me, a very specious thing. There's not no such thing as a universal symbol. You have to understand what things mean. For instance, a child is scolded for turning over an ashtray. Well, it's a blue ashtray. You know, the parent says, "Oh, no, no, don't you do that. Don't do that ever again." Well, the next day, the child turns over a yellow ashtray. The parent goes, "Oh, I told you not to do that." Well, the child says, "Well, Mom scolded me for turning over something blue. I don't understand. This isn't blue, it's yellow." You see, this is how children think. It's also how the unconscious mind thinks. So now the unconscious mind said anything blue is bad until the parent corrects the child. Now the child thinks, well, anything blue and yellow is bad. But so a savvy parent will take the child aside and say, "No, look, it's not blue or yellow. It's this gray stuff that's in the ashtray. See, that's the stuff I don't want you to mess with." And then the child, "Oh, okay, it's the ash, not the blue or the yellow." But if you don't correct the child and you go, "Oh," and they turn over a green ashtray, "Oh my God, don't do that." They're going to think, okay, blue, yellow, and green are bad. And that's the kind of stuff that gets locked up in the brain, you know, in the unconscious mind and comes up. That's why a briefcase may represent your father, or a razor blade may represent your father, or a dog may represent your father, or a belt may represent your father, or, you know, who knows, a glass, a drinking glass may represent your father. And then it gets translated into something else. So anyway, this is the language of the unconscious, and that's why it's almost impossible to understand the factory, the thought factory. Well, okay, now we get into spirits. Well, thoughts are almost entirely physically produced. So the body goes away, and now we have a spirit no longer in the body. Senses are physical. Senses are all evolved from the sense of touch. Seeing, hearing, taste, touch, smell are all evolved from the sense of touch. There are vibrations of one form or another that excite nerve endings, and these various types of vibrations are sent to the brain that interpret them. But they're all touch. Something touches the nerve endings. It's all physical. So when the body is left aside, does the spirit still see and hear and smell and touch? What about seeing? Spirit see? And does the spirit see straight ahead? Or can the spirit see in all directions? See, these are very important questions. So what common ground of communication do we even have? Does the spirit even recognize you? There used to be an interesting thought experiment. A person blind from birth, they feel a sphere and they feel a square. And this was back in the 1700s and 1800s. I mean, philosophers argued about this for a long time. You hand them a sphere, they feel it, okay. You hand them a square, they feel it, or a cube, they feel it, okay. Now their eyesight is suddenly restored. Could they recognize by sight a sphere and a cube when all they could do before is feel it? Would they recognize by sight a sphere and a cube? Some said yes, some said no. Now, when we were discussing this in my philosophy class, I said, no, they wouldn't. There's no reference. There's no reference for round or sharp or angle. No, obviously they couldn't. Would they recognize their cat? You know, they feel a cat. They touch the cat. If they saw the cat for the first time, no, they have no reference. In fact, when they open their eyes and look around, it would be they would have no reference. It wouldn't make any sense. They would have to learn what these things meant. And as it turned out, when operations were developed to cure congenital cataracts, they had a chance to put this to the test. And as it turned out, no, they couldn't. They could not. They said, well, what's this? And they said, I don't know. Well, one of them is a sphere, one of them is a cube. Can you tell which one is which? No, they could not. Well, what is it? I don't know. Well, that's your cat, Tabby. Oh, really? Well, who is this? I don't know. Well, that's your mother. They couldn't make any sense out of it. So with the eyes gone, with the ears gone, with the hands gone, would a spirit even know who you are and how? What senses do you have? So do you have a spiritual equivalent of these things? I'm going to tell you that it's a very, very interesting thing. Normally right now we would pause for station identification, but I don't think I have any. I truly don't think I have. We're still processing our new station identification because, you know, we lost a few shows. And I don't think I have one. Let me look and see. I like to leave you with a provocative question to think about. And no, I do not. I do not have a station identification. It says here it's still processing the audio. See, that's Blog Talk for you. Oh, well. Anyway, we have a whole lot of cool shows that you should listen to on LMC Radio Network, which is bringing you the Crystal Silence League Hour, LMC Radio Network, and Lucky Mojo Curio Company. There you go. So I'm going to tell you a story or two about, gosh, I don't know, a little over, probably a little less than a year ago, I guess, because we had moved the chapel from West Knoxville to North Knoxville to my new home. And that was an adventure to see. I have a video of it where they physically picked up the chapel from my yard, loaded it on a truck and moved it to the new place where it exists now, my little church. And shortly after I moved it, I had to rearrange a lot because I had to pack. I packed up what I could, and what I couldn't packed up wound up on the ground, on the floor. You know, they did what they could, but heck, they moved it. They put it on a truck and moved it, so stuff wound up everywhere. And I came out one day, and one of my malas, my little meditation beads, were laying on the ground making a little funny face. And if you look in the slideshow, you'll actually see that. I took a picture of it, and I put it on my I put it on the floor, and I took a picture of it on my Facebook. I said, how interesting. So I put it up, and then a little bit later, I came in, and some stuff got knocked around. I have a little case that has small Buddhas in it. It had been knocked loose on the wall. And I said, all right, there's some spirit activity. Some other stuff got knocked over. And then a frame around a vent was knocked loose. I said, okay, spirit. And some other things got arranged in patterns. There was some stuff just arranged in patterns. And then there was quite a mess one day. So I said, spirit, if you don't cut this out, I'll burn some ghost vanishing incense and run you out of here. So I immediately after that heard creaking footsteps overhead, like somebody was walking on the second floor. And the thing is, there's no second floor in my chapel. I have a loft, but it's not a second floor. And what I was hearing was directly overhead in empty air. So you could hear these footsteps creaking like somebody was pacing upstairs where there's no upstairs. And once again, I made a videotape of this. It's a video of it. It's on my Facebook page on Divine Harmony Spiritual Church. You can hear creak like some guy that weighs about 250 pounds walking upstairs. Now, this is a very solid building. When I walk around, it doesn't creak. So this was something entirely else. So it continued most of the day off and on. I would be doing readings. You could hear in the background, creak, 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 like somebody walking. So there was nothing left to do but contact this restless spirit and see what it wanted, and which I did. And I use pendulums and Ouija boards and automatic writing and a number of techniques. So I soon discovered the spirit's name was Victor. And I said, well, what do you want, Victor? And he said, I want to help you, said Victor. I said, do I need your help? And yes, said Victor. So Victor seemed familiar to me, both the energy and the name. And I said, Victor, do I know you? And Victor said, yes. Yes, so we knew each other a long time ago, several years ago. And then this face popped into my mind, and I said, were you the victor who used to help me in my yard in exchange for readings? And this big yes came through. So Victor was this big, friendly, simple guy. He was a country boy. He fixed appliances and cars and stuff for a living out of his home. And he came to me basically for a basic midlife advice. He just wanted some advice on how to do some stuff. And I did some hypnotism with him and some other things. And he didn't make a lot of money. So at the time I lived in Maryville, and I had 14 acres of woods, and I had a big backyard, like 2 acres, and it had gone bad from the previous owners and needed a whole lot of work. So I said, well, if you'll help me in my backyard, we'll call it square. You know, I'll do a reading for you and some work, and just come help me in my backyard. And he goes, well, I'll do the very thing. So help me plant flowers and clearing weeds and feed the wildlife. There was all kinds of deers and squirrels and raccoons and stuff in the woods that I fed. And he was very, very good with them too. And we planted these enormous sunflowers. Turned out there was a septic field at one time in the backyard. We planted these sunflowers. They grew like 20 feet high. They were terrifying. The bigger than trash can lids, these sunflowers. So, he helped me, and for a number of years, actually, he'd come by, and we talked man stuff, you know, talk philosophy and man stuff. Got to be buddies, basically, you know. So it turned out in the spirit contact with Victor that he had passed into the silence several months before. So he's kind of like a stray dog or a stray cat. He was just roaming around looking for a place to stay. Now, why Victor is earthbound, I can't tell you. He doesn't know either. He just wants to be useful. And he found me, and I'm going to tell you, lots of stray cats find me, and lots of stray spirits find me too. And I'm going to tell you that he's very good with my spirit animals, and we're going to talk about spirit animals too in just a little bit, especially these wolves that I have. And I have a hostile male named Chaka, and Chaka is a problem, I'm going to tell you. And before Victor came along, I was going to have to get rid of Chaka. Chaka was going to have to go back into the ground because Chaka will not obey. And you'll tell Chaka, okay, I need you to go watch this guy. And Chaka will go off and not come back. And you'll find out that Chaka has gone and done stuff on his own. He's very hostile. Chaka's backstory, though, is that he was shot by a hunter. And there's a bullet hole in the back of his head. And it's not that he was so mad about being killed because, you know, he's a hunter himself, but he didn't have a chance to fight back. And now he's spoiling for a fight and he's got a bad attitude. And the other two wolves are fine. Non-philosophy, they're fine. They know what the deal is, but Chaka, he's a douchebag basically. But Victor's very good with him. And Victor also protects the building. My neighborhood people just kind of wander around aimlessly, and kids and vagrants, and they'll come in my yard, and he scares them off. So he was right. I did need his help. And I'm going to tell you, his main issue was that his brother-in-law wound up with his truck, and that pissed him off. And his sister got his old truck, but the husband laid claim to it. And the thing is, Victor hated and still hates his brother-in-law. And I said, you love that truck. You love that truck like a woman. He goes, yeah. He said, it quit running after 2 weeks after his brother-in-law got it. And I said, well, it's a one-man truck. You know, it's loyal to you, you know, like a dog, you know. And he goes, no, that's not it. I pulled the wires on her. And so Victor sabotaged his truck so his brother-in-law couldn't do it. So that's how a former client and a former friend became one of my spirit guides. You know, he found me, and many times this happens. And I'm going to tell you that when you work with ancestors, some of your ancestors will work with you and some won't. My father appears to me in dreams, and they're very vivid dreams, and gives me father advice. My mother never has. And, my grandmother doesn't, but my great-grandmother does. I call her grandmother, but she's my great-grandmother. And my grandfather doesn't. So there are spirits who will work with you and spirits who won't. Now, on the subject of animals, I have strong feelings about this. I was taught by two Native American shamans to work with animal spirits, and I don't know other ways. I've read about them and talked to other people about them, but there seems to be a lot of human arrogance about how animal spirits are considered. I know there are people who buy animal relics by mail, and they say, "Oh, look, I got a possum. Oh, look, I got a raccoon." And I said, "Did you ask them?" Because I have a possum. Her name is Opie. And it took me three tries, though, before I could find a possum who wanted to work with me, because the first two just told me to get lost. And, you know, they had no interest in working with me. The third one was very friendly. Female said, "Yeah." She said, yes, I sure will. And then I've got a I have a coyote, and that coyote was hard to find. I can't tell you how many coyotes I asked before one would agree to work with me. And you know, maybe people say, well, maybe animals don't like you. No, animals love me. But if you've seen how many dogs and cats I've had, and hamsters, and no, and animals, other people's animals crawl. No, animals love me. It's just that wild animals don't always want to work with you. They're wild animals, and they have, and I'll tell you a story in a minute here about one of mine. But and I have a crow, and the crow actually crawled my steps and died. And I said, "Little brother, did you come here to work with me?" And I got nothing. And I said, let me bring you in. And after about 2 days, that little crow said, "I'll stay here with you." I said, "Okay, you don't have to do anything. Just stay here." And then after a while, the crow worked for me. When I say these animals talk to you, I don't mean that they speak English. They have a way of communicating with you. And if you're an animal person, you know what I mean, because they communicate with you in life as well. If you've ever had cats, you know, cats can tell you exactly what they want. And they can tell you exactly what they want. And if I had time to take a break here, as I go from one story to the next, I would, but I don't, you know, play a little station break or something, but it's still sitting here chewing on our station identification. But, and also kind of wish I had a chat room here so I could see if anybody's got any questions or anything. But you know what? We do have a call-in number if you wanted to call. The guest call-in number is 657-383-0525. If you have any questions about spirits, I will be glad to try to answer them. And you dial that number and you press 1, and a little flag pops up, and I can put you on the air, and you can talk. Now, not all animals will work with you, and not all animals you know in life will work with you. I will tell you, I had a cat named Checker who passed away, gosh, in 1995 or something like that, some time ago. And he doesn't work with me, but he pops up now and again. I see him out of the corner of my eye, and he'll go away. But you know, he's not a spirit animal. He doesn't work for me. And I'll tell you, I had another cat who I had for 14 years. And then one day she crawled somewhere to die, found her place to die. And she was an indoor cat. I know she didn't run off or anything. She was old anyway, but she just disappeared one day. And she found her place to keep her appointment with the creator. And I was trying to find her, because after a couple of days, it was obvious that she, you know, what had happened. And in the place where I live, there's a thousand places a little cat could go. There are crawl spaces, basement, all kinds of places a little cat could go. And so I was trying to find her so I could bury her. And there was a part of me that knew it was her time. I'd known for some time she was getting ready to die. And I thought I was going to have to take her to the vet and have her put to sleep. But she decided that she wanted to be alone. Cats do that. You know, when a cat is ready to die, they'll find a quiet spot, a private spot. But there's a part of me that wouldn't be at peace until I found her. You know, I was fine with her passing away. You know, I missed her, but, you know, sad. But part of me just wouldn't be at peace. I said, I got to find her. I needed closure, I guess. And so I was looking for her for about a week. I kept trying to find her. And because I just couldn't quite be at peace with it. A part of me wouldn't be at peace. And it was fighting the rest of me. And if you've ever been at war with yourself like that, it's exhausting and it'll make you distracted. So I knew I had to find her and bury her before I'd be at peace. Well, one day I fell asleep in my chair and I knew I was going to have a spirit dream because I was in my old house. And it was a very vivid dream. And sure enough, I was sitting there in my chair still. And my little cat was in my lap like she always was. And she made it known to me. She said to me, I want you to stop looking for me. And I said, okay. She said, because if you found me, it would have been awful for you. And you know it would have been awful for you. I said, well, yeah, it would. And she said, if you found me now, it would be even worse. I said, yeah, it would. And she said, I want you to remember us just like this. And later when I thought about that, it struck me. She didn't say, I want you to remember me like this. She said, I want you to remember us like this, her sitting in my lap. And I said, okay, I will. And then I said, would you like to work with me as you are now? And she said, no, our time together is done. And I love being your cat, but we're through because I have things I have to do and I have to go somewhere else for a while. And she got up and walked away and didn't look back. And I woke up and I was at peace for the first time since she went missing. And that would have been like 3 weeks. And I was at peace. And this is something I need you to know, that when something is done, it's done. And it's time to let it go. And not all relationships are meant to be eternal. And sometimes when someone dies, it's time to let them go, and it doesn't mean that they don't love you. It just means they have business elsewhere. They have an agenda elsewhere. And I'll tell you what, nobody knows this more than cats. Cats are wiser. They know when it's time to say goodbye, it's time to say goodbye. Doesn't mean they don't love you. It means they have business elsewhere. And this is something with spirits. Sometimes, man, just leave them alone, you know. Quit knocking on their door. You know, quit saying, you know, mom, dad, uncle, brother, sister, son, daughter, are you okay up there? You know, is everything fine? Unless there's something you really need to know, you know, if it's like this, for instance, you know, I'm sorry I bothered my little cat, but man, I needed some closure on this. I needed to know something. I just needed to know something. And, you know, she took time out of her busy cat schedule to come and say, you know, hey, dumbass, let it go. Remember us like this. We had a good time, but it's time to say goodbye. And so that is just the way it is. Sometimes it's time to say goodbye. People are obsessed with the spirit stuff. They're obsessed with it. And usually what the spirit has to say, you know, is, oh, you're working on your house. Yeah. I love what you're doing with your house. And, you know, I'm okay. Don't be sad. You know, move on. You know, what you're doing with the house is fine. You know, I like what you did with your hair. Isn't it true? I mean, have you been to spirit mediums, you know, like the gallery mediums and stuff? Isn't it true? They hardly ever say anything from beyond that's going to change you. But the main message is there's something beyond the death of the physical body, that there's a second, highly charged, highly aware, highly alert, very much alive, second part of us that keeps going when the physical body dies. Now, do you believe that or do you not? I'm going to tell you, do you ever see how little kids deal with death? We don't give them enough credit. Sometimes we try to protect them from death. But I want to tell you, I've officiated at funerals, and you know, those of us who are ordained and go to funerals, we see a lot of death. And the adults are heartbroken at the death of a child. They're just heartbroken. But that child's friends will go over and talk to the child And they'll hold the child's hand. They'll lay their head on the child's chest and they'll talk to him. And, I remember, one little girl said to her dead classmate, and they were, first grade. So how old were they? 6 or 7, I guess, first grade. And she said, she said, "Tommy, I have to say goodbye to you now, but be sure when you see God, tell him I said hi. And, I want you to be okay. And, we're going to miss you, but we all love you. So, say hi to God and, say hi to my dog Spot when you see him." And, she held his hand and she patted him on the hand, kissed his head, and she was okay with death. And, all the adults were seeing this and it was breaking their heart and they were crying. And it made me happy because, you see, here's the difference between that little kid and all little kids and us. They believe, and they believe without doubt. And what happens to adults, what happens to you and me, is that we have doubt. We say we believe. We say we believe there's an afterlife. We say we believe in God. We say we believe in heaven. But there's that nagging doubt that maybe we're wrong. And I don't think we truly believe until we see it for ourselves. And that doubt keeps us from doing it. And until you've actually seen spirit, until spirit is actually manifested to you, until you've actually had it happen to you, you believe, but you don't know. You believe, but you don't know. And I'm going to tell you that when I was close to death and this doctor told me in 2010, he said, "Sir, you almost died." I said, I know. He goes, "Well, I'm going to tell you, you almost died. You're close to death." I said, "Yes, sir. I know. I understand you." He said, "I'm not sure that you fully," I said, I know what you're saying. I said, "I almost died, but I'm not that attached to life." And this doctor said, "Sir, are you depressed?" I said, no. I said, "But I know that beyond this life, there's more." I said, "If my body ceases to work, that there's still a part of me that will live and go to a place that's better than this." He goes, "Oh, you're a man of faith." I said, "No, sir, I'm a man of knowledge. I'm a man of knowledge. I'm not a man of faith. I'm a man of knowledge." And you see, this is why I'm calm in the face of most of the things that are terrible in this world, because this is just the physical world. And beyond this physical world is the world that really matters. This world is not important. This world is what you can see and touch and feel and taste is not the real world. The real world is that of spirit. From spirit, all things become manifest. And do you believe me when I say this? The spirit world is the real world. What we see around us here is just illusion. And this world, this life we have that we think is so important to the spirit, is a temporary inconvenience. And I was talking to someone the other day and they said, "Well, why would we choose to be born in this situation like this?" And I said, "Well, why do you go to the doctor and get a shot?" And I said, "No, tell me, why do you go to the doctor and get a shot?" "Well, it makes you feel better." And I said, "Well, it's necessary for your health." And I said, "This time we spend on this planet is necessary for our spiritual growth. It makes us stronger in spirit. And we pick certain levels of stress. We pick certain levels of growth, certain necessary ideas. But, you're not here forever. And to the spirit, this is just a small level. And like my little cat said, you have business elsewhere. And what that business is, you don't know until you're there." So that's what we got to talk about right now. The spiritual agenda. Why are the spirits talking to us at all? And I think it's because we're living in times where faith is weak. And belief is weak. Faith is weak. And people are distressed. And this is why everybody's afraid and everybody is angry and everybody is distressed. Faith is weak. And I'm going to tell you that now more than ever, we need the spirits and we need faith in the spirits. Now, what if I were to tell you that there is sound scientific evidence that these planes exist, that spirits exist? More and more doctors are talking to people who have been clinically dead for long periods of time. More and more doctors are saying, "You know what? I have talked to people who knew things they could not possibly know. They knew stuff that was going on in the next room with their families." And I said, "Sure, they during the time that they were out of body, during the time their spiritual body was free, They went to check on their family to make sure they were okay. They were still concerned about things that went on in this world. I'm also going to tell you that when I've talked to spirit, who've been out of body for a little while, they forget a lot about what concerned them on this world. Most spirits don't remember how they died that I've spoken with. You ask them, what can you tell me about dying? And they say, what about dying? And I say, well, I remembered I used to like these things. And what I compare it to is like, do any of you remember what it was like when you were 3 years old? What were your favorite toys when you were three? Do you remember anything about when you were 3 years old? I don't remember that much. I have glimpses of memory. I think that's how spirit remembers this entire life. It's like this entire life is like when they were 3 years old. They have glimpses of it, but they don't have a lot of detail after a very short while. This life tends to leave you. And, you remember your mom and your dad and your brother. You go, yeah, that's my brother. That's my mom, my dad. But you don't remember a lot of details. And people say, well, I want to know where'd they leave that ring? And it's like, yeah, I kind of remember having a ring. Yeah, I kind of do. But memory is something that's physical. It's stored in the physical brain. And you don't carry a lot of that with you. Anything physical you leave behind, even a lot of what we call identity or self is physical. You think about your feet, your face, your hands, your body. Take that away. What else is physical? Your thoughts. Well, thoughts are physical, folks. Think about anything that's not physical, and that's what you carry over. Now, if thoughts and images can be transferred from one mind to the other via telepathy, what is transferred to spirit? This is just something we should think about for next week. I hope you found this conversation tonight of interest and to give you something to think about. I don't really have much more to say this week. I'm hoping that we had a show tonight. I hope I don't find out that we had another dead air, but I get a feeling that we were fine. So let's go out with a little bit of music, and I'll talk to you guys next week. As always, the Reverend loves and blesses you. Check us out on Blog Talk Radio next week.